This morning's title is Never Too Late to Restart with God. Never Too Late to Restart with God. I've seen many people who make awful messes in their lives. They got involved with the illegal drugs, or alcohol, or gambling, or pornography, and the list can go on. But it's not just only the bad things that can make them people's life miserable and difficult, but also when we do the good things too much without any control, it can turn into a bad problem also. Jacob left the Haran, where he stayed with his uncle Laban, the con man, you all know that, and for over 20 years. He had two wives, two concubines, 11 sons, and one daughter, and many numbers of the servants and large flocks. He got all this with the kinds of deceptions. He was not considered as a righteous man. Jacob thought he was going to bite the dust when he heard that his brother Esau was coming toward him with 400 men. But God made a peace between Jacob and Esau. Instead of heading to the Bethel as God told him to do so, Jacob connived his brother Esau again and chose to settle his camp outside of the city of Shechem. Jacob is about to find out in a hard way when you are in the wrong place with the wrong people, it is a matter of time that you will end up doing wrong things. But God is so gracious to extend His everlasting grace to all of us to make a brand new start all over again. God is a God of second chance and third chance and more and more. It is like God is telling us it's never too late to restart with me all over again on this earth. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, our heart is open to receive Your word and to receive Your principle and precept and Your wisdom. We're asking You to let Your word come alive in our heart and listen to Your voice and take heed. And we also pray for our troops and the law enforcement members and firefighters around this community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 24 in Genesis. Now Dinah, daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when the Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. Folks, it is known fact that there are so many date rapes incident in many of the university campuses around the country, including U of A in Tucson. These young girls go out with guys who had a wicked mindset and they end up getting raped. Mom and Dad, it is very important for you to make sure that your children understand that there is a tremendous amount of dangers and the consequences for them to walk into the ungodly place with ungodly people. No one can say that Shechem loved Dinah because he raped her against her will. He had a strange way of showing her his love. As a matter of fact, that is not a true love, because a true love respects other person's wish, not ignore it. Jacob was supposed to be in Bethel, not in Shechem, according to God's will. But by doing so, he put his family in unnecessary danger. By the way, the name of the Lord was never once mentioned in chapter 34. God's wisdom was absent while Jacob was dwelling in this area. When we disobey God, we put ourselves and our loved ones in harm's way. Maybe you are doing this to your family. Are you dragging down your family? Are you taking your family into the wrong direction? What do you need to do? Just as Jacob needed to get back to Bethel, you need to get back to the Word of God, the Bible, and a daily prayer, and coming to the church regularly. Not just once in a blue moon, or when you're in a tight corner. You need a strong relationship. You need to get back to God, and you need God in your life. Verse 4 of chapter 34. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor and saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. So now his son was with his livestock in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field, and when they heard it, the men were grieved and very angry, because he had done the disgraceful things in Israel by lying with the daughter, Jacob's daughter, a thing that which ought not to be done. Verse 8, but the Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife, and make marriage with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to yourselves. So you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade in it. Acquire possession for yourselves in it." The Shechem said to her father and her brothers, "Let me find a favor in your eyes. Whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me ever so much dowry and a gift, and I will give according to what you said to me. But give me the young woman as wife." This is a dangerous challenge to Jacob and his family. Irresponsible in the marriage with the Canaanite could prove especially harmful for his family, and when he was called to do what God wanted him to do, and God's redemptive plan. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are told, "Do not be unequally yoked." I see two things. People should not marry them when the single people should not marry, nor even date, even going out with non-believers. Because even if they think that missionary, "I will bring this person to Christ, I will do the missionary date." It doesn't work that way. That person, the believer, will end up become backsliding. What about the business incident? Let's say you met this guy, he is a great businessman, but he is not a believer in Christ Jesus. Should you be the partner with that man? Why not? Because the worldly man will do anything for profit, including lying and cheating and do whatever he can. But you, as a Christian businessman, you are not supposed to do that kind of thing. So your idea of running the business and his idea of running the business will not work together well. So it is unequally yoked. Do not get involved. Okay? Let's move on. This is a dangerous proposal. Hamor and Shechem is saying that this disgrace to Dinah can be bought out with the money and gift. That is not so. Jacob was paralyzed with the fear at this point, and he didn't say anything. Now, let me put it this way. The man should take spiritual leadership in the home. If the man is not taking a spiritual leadership, there will be a void. The void is going to happen, and that's going to be filled with more sins down the road. Let me make an example. King David. Remember, King David had many sons because he had many wives and concubines. And the oldest one is Absalom. And among his sons, there's a guy named Amnon. He's just a piece of jerk. He's an idiot. But this guy wanted his half-sister Tamar. So what he did is he raped Tamar. And after he raped Tamar, and all of a sudden he hates Tamar and throw her out of his house. Do you know what David did? He got angry. So what? What did he do? Nothing. He literally did nothing. You know what happened? Some of you guys know the story. His Absalom, the Tamar's brother, said, "Sister, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And he took care of it. He killed Amnon. Ever since then, the guy that David's home never settled because there's always bloodshed. Because you didn't, that the man of God, the spiritual leader, supposed to be the spiritual leader, and he didn't do anything, so there is a sin coming in, and because there is a void. Husbands, fathers, you are the spiritual priest in your home. You need to take that role. Don't say, "Well, my wife knows the Bible more than I do." Well, God is not making suggestion. God is telling you what to do. You get in the Word, get on your knees and pray to God that you may become a spiritual leader. And God will guide you, God will honor you, and He will give you the insight to understand the Word of God. Let's continue in verse 13. The sons of Jacob answered, and Shechem and Hamor, his father, spoke deceitfully, underline deceitfully, please, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said to him, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be the reproach to us. But on this condition, we will consent to you if you will become as we are. If every male of you is circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us. We will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you do not heed us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughters and be gone." This word pleased Hamor and Shechem, the Hamor's son. So the young man did not delay to do the things because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was more honorable than the old household of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and spoke with the men of their city, saying, "These men are at peace with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade in it. For indeed, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men consent to dwell with us to be one people. If every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised, will not their livestock, their property, every animal of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell with us." And all who went out to the city gate of the city hid Hamor and Shechem, his son, and every male was circumcised, all who went out to the gate of the city. Simeon and Levi is the one who had evil intention. They had no intention, no willingness to hand out their sister to these people. They learned this kind of deception from who? Their own father, Jacob. Because they learned to see how their father deceived other people. As I said before, mom and dad, you cannot tell your kid how to live for God unless you live for them. You live for Him first. For just in case you don't understand what the meaning of circumcision, there's a jackrabbit he will explain to you after the service, okay? Just ask him. Verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day that when they were in pain, I bet they were in pain, but the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah, his brothers, each took his sword and came boldly up on the city and killed all males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah from the Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep and their oxen, their donkeys, and what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all the little ones, all their little ones, their wives, they took captive. They plundered away even all that was in the houses. Then the Jacob said to Simeon and the Levi, "You have troubled me, making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my host Elm and I." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a harlot?" So they were concerned about this Shechem and Hamor treating their sister like a harlot. What about them? They're prostituting what God told them to do for the Israeli people to achieve their goal. Somehow they thought God gave them a great success and God gave them blessing. They get the wrong idea from God. Let me put it another way. I'm all for pro-life. I'm against abortion. Let's make a record clear. If you ladies, some of you ladies have had abortion before, if you ask God to forgive you for what you've done, God forgave you. So don't dwell on it. Move on. God does not remember what you've done. So don't dwell on it, okay? Anyway, let's go back to the pro-life thing. I'm all for the pro-life. I'm all for the anti-abortion thing. However, there are some people who are the extremists. At the beginning, they start with the pro-life. And then they move on to the rather malicious things. And they get into this idea, since the abortion clinic is a killing field and the doctors are the murderer of the unborn children, we will eliminate them. We will blow up the abortion clinic. We will kill the doctors. Is that the right thing to do? Absolutely not. What the Word of God says in Romans chapter 12, do not pay back evil for evil. Let's go there. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Romans, look at it in the New Testament, right after the book of Acts, before the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Verse 19. While you're tuning, listen up, please. Self-defense and the righteous word are justified in the law of the land and also eyes of God. However, this kind of brutal murder is not justified. Let's read that. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Rather, give place to the wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Remember this, please. Just because somebody else is doing wrong thing to you and insult you, that doesn't mean you just pick up the lead pipe and bash their head. Let God handle it. God, Jesus said, if somebody slap you on the left cheek, turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean if somebody bash your head with a baseball bat and say, "Okay, you try this side too." That's not what it meant. It's more like an insult. If somebody insults you, don't insult them back. Walk away. Let God handle it. God takes that kind of thing personally. Jacob has been living in the life of deceiving people for his benefit. And he was not in the position to tell his boys, don't do this kind of thing. Don't deceive people. So they didn't have a spiritual leadership. So is it the end of Jacob's life? Is God done with his life? No, it's not. You know, nowadays some of the Christian people are acting no different than Jacob. They try to scheme other people and they act worse than some of the non-believers. I heard that one Christian business owner said the last person he will hire is a Christian. Because they spend more time evangelizing to other people instead of working. And they my company's owner is a Christian, so I can do this. No, do it on your own time, not on company time. You get paid to work, not to evangelize. Do your own time. Verse 1 of chapter 35, please. Chapter 35 of Genesis, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there and make an altar there to God, and who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him. Note the next phrase, please. This is the man of God speaking. Put away the foreign gods and that are among you, and purify yourself and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to the Bethel. I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. God called Jacob back to the Bethel, the house of God. Go back to Bethel, where you made a covenant, you saw the vision, and you made a vow to me, and Jacob did. Before he go to Bethel, before he had to go to Bethel, he had to do one thing right. He had to cleanse himself and cleanse the home of God, his home. And there is a lot of foreign God. Remember, Rachel stole his father's, the Laban's God, the idols, and she sat on it. And while they were living in the nearby the Shechem, of course, they learned this wicked city is a cult, foreign gods. And they had the foreign gods at their disposal, and some of the earrings represent. So they had to clean that thing first before they go into the God. This shows a tremendous leadership of Jacob in his part. Men who get right with God will see the effect in his family. Gentlemen, when you take this role of a spiritual leadership in your home, you will start to see the difference. At the beginning, there will be tremendous resistance from your own family members. This is not fun. I don't want to do this. Stay at it. That's what God wants you to do. Whom do you plan to please? Do you want to please your family or do you want to please God? Please God. Okay? It is important. Your kid should not look for the role model from the overpaid, selfish ball players. Your kid should not find the role model from sleazy movie stars or dope addict singers. Their role model should be you, mom and dad, because you live for God. If you're not going to do it, don't tell your kid to be a good people, because you are not in that place. Let's continue in verse 6. Now Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place of El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below the Bethels under the terebinth tree, and the name of it was Elon Bakuth. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came to from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." He called his name Israel. Also God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, and nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you, to your descendants after you I give this land." Then God went up from him and in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it. He poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Go back to verse 11, just a side note. Some of you guys heard the dominion theology. Some of you guys know that, some of you don't. Some of you might heard this say that you, the dominion theology is that you're supposed to have children as many as you can so they can be a Christian warrior and take over the world. That is heresy. Okay? If somebody tells you that, that is heresy. How many kids are you going to have? That's between you and God. And their argument is, blessed the one who has a kuba is full. Comes from the Psalm. How do you know your kuba is one error or for 20 errors? It's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's not up to the theologian. It's up to God who brings the life to your life. So don't let anyone tell you that you should have a kid as many as you can. We all know kids are gifts from God, but at the same time, they come with the trouble. If you want more trouble, have more. But if you want, if between you and God, you felt that God is telling you to have a dozen, go for it. If God tells you to have one, go for it. Don't let anyone condemn you for that. Okay? When Jacob finally arrived in the place that God told him to go, Jacob immediately felt the blessing from God. He met God and saw God was meeting him. And God called him with his new name, Israel, which means God rules. Relationship was restored. Folks, whenever you decide to come back to God, if you walked away from God, this is the day, now is the time for you to come back to God. Make a relationship right with God. When you do that, you will start to feel and you will start to know the blessing of God will come to you. Jacob did not hear anything new from God. What he heard was exactly the same thing what he heard before. Why didn't God give him a new revelation? He didn't need anything because he already got everything. Folks, you already know, if you've been coming to a church, this church for some time, you already know what to do to live for God. Just about every day, every time we start a service, I tell you what to do, how to please God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. What else is there? Right? That's the bottom line, isn't it? We all know. The reason why he doesn't give us any more is because we don't do the first thing. Until we do the first thing, he's not going to give us any more. First thing first, do what God says. Then the rest of them, he will provide us. Continue in verse 16. And they journeyed from the Bethel, and they, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had a hard labor. I have no idea what that means. Thank God. And it came to pass when she was in the hard labor, and the midwife said, "Do not fear. You will have this son also." And so it was as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. You might want to jot it down, the son of sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son, it means son of my right hand, or son of my strength. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to the Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is in the pillar of the Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. And it happened when Israel dwelt in the land, in that land, and Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard about it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah was Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And the sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. Sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, was Dan and Naphtali. And sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, was Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at the Mamre, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where the Abraham and Isaac dwell. And now the days of Isaac was 180 years. So Isaac bred his last and died, was gathered to his people, and being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Obviously, Jacob had a pretty messed up family here. This family kind of make the American soap opera look like nothing. The reason is because he was not the spiritual leader in the home. Is it too late? No, never too late to restart with God on this earth. Once we leave this earth, we pass into the eternity, it's too late. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about that eternity in a few moments. Let's make an application. Number one, you are never too late to restart in God while you are alive. If the devil tell you your history, God does not love you anymore, you're done. That is a lie. He is speaking another, his native language. He's lying. Remember this. Whatever you've done, your sins is not too big that God cannot forgive. What it says in Romans, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Your sins have been forgiven. If you came to Him with an honest heart and asked God to forgive your sin, it is done. It has been forgiven. Don't dwell on it. Second application, partial obedience to God is worse than complete disobedience. Partial obedience to God is worse than complete disobedience. Why? Because it deceives us to think that we are right on track with God. Partial disobedience is as bad as complete disobedience. In my opinion, as I said before, it's worse than complete disobedience. Let's stand up and pray.